Recently, I heard a funny story of a minister preaching for something like an hour. When he had finished, the man in the congregation turned to his friend in the pew and said, "What was that all about?" To which his friend amusingly replied, "I don't know, he didn't tell us." And that can't be said of the psalmist here in Psalm 146, because the psalmist is quite clear what he is trying to say to us today, and it's particularly verse 3 that I want us to dwell upon today. In the New International Version, it says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save." Or more memorably in the King James Version, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help." And so I want today to take this psalm and I want to develop what is being said here, because the psalmist is talking about false hopes and a true hope. And I want to very much just keep that theme before us today as we try to understand exactly what he is saying. First of all, he talks about the dangers of having a false hope. And the false hope he calls in verse 3, princes. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. The question then becomes, well, who does he mean when he's talking about princes? Well, princes were the leaders of the nation in his day. We would call them the politicians, the rulers, the movers and shakers, the people who were running the society at a human level. To be sure, we need such people. In his sermons in the book of Titus, John Calvin asked the question, why do we have kings, rulers, magistrates, and judges? And he answers, so that men do not devour each other like cats and dogs. Calvin even goes so far as to say that bad government is better than no government. And he's right, for none of us would want to live somewhere like Somalia, where there's a total breakdown of law and order. You wouldn't want to live there. The danger, however, is that we so elevate leaders and politicians, scientists and educationalists, philosophers and influencers, that we so put them on a pedestal, we so expect of them things that they cannot deliver, that we elevate them somehow to the place of God. And we think that they can do for us what only God can do for us. And that is to make them a false hope. And that is to put ourselves in all sorts of difficulty. The psalmist knew that, so he makes the point in verse 3, do not put your trust in princes and mortal men who cannot save or who cannot help you. These people, these princes, they may be able to do something for you. They're able to build roads, schools, hospitals, provide you with street lighting, empty your bins. But they can't save your soul. These people who are in these corridors of power, in these places with great influence and great power, they have limitations. Isaiah 31 says, the Egyptians are men and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. So we've got to be careful, the psalmist is saying to us here, do not put your trust in princes and mortal men who cannot save your soul. And the other danger of so elevating them is in verse 4, because he says, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. In the original Hebrew, I understand there's a play on words going on here. The word is the word dust. As God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, dust you are, and to dust you will return. And what the psalmist is saying here is that these people who on one level and at one time seem to be so important, high and mighty and powerful, long runs the fox, because in the end, they will go the same way as everyone else. Last year, 2020, saw the death of some once very prominent Northern Ireland politicians. If I said their names now, you would know exactly who they are or who they were, because they're gone. There were also world statesmen who died in 2020. Again, household names at a time. If I said their names, you would know who they were. But they're gone. And what God is saying here through the psalmist is that all flesh is grass, and its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord only stands forever. Not their word. So don't be hoping in politicians, celebrities, kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers. Their day is coming. They'll return to the dust just like you and I will return to the dust. Their thoughts will die with them, he says. In the here and now, they seem so high and mighty, so full of pomp and power, but one day they'll be gone. So don't think that they have all the answers, they have all the solutions. They can't heal your inner hurts, they can't make you happy. They can't sort out your marriage. They can't sort out your kids, your work hassles, your addictions, your money troubles, and they certainly cannot make you right with God. Put not your trust in princes. But secondly, having talked about false hope, we move on to true hope. And the psalmist is sure where this is to be found in verse 5. Blessed is he who says, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. This past week, the year has changed from 2020 to 2021. And the psalmist here, if he's writing about 1000 BC, when he mentions Jacob, he's going back 800 years before to 1800 BC. And he is choosing someone in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, who is pretty unsavory, we've got to say, Jacob, and yet he talks about the God of Jacob being your helper. God is the God, you see, who is outside of time. He is our God who is above time. He has created time, but he is outside of time. But he works in time. And the psalmist here is reminding us of this man, Jacob, who in his day and in his age, God worked in his life. And he's giving him as an example to you and to me, to say to you and to me, this is how God works. He's still the God of Jacob today. In some ways, it's rather strange he chooses Jacob as an example. Jacob was a liar. He lied to his father. He was a swindler to his brother. Could anything good come out of Jacob's life? Well, then Jacob had his vision of that ladder. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. And at the top of the ladder was the God of Israel, the God of the covenant. Jacob didn't deserve that. He was a liar. He was a swindler. He was on the run. And yet the Scottish Church of the Church of Scotland minister of Holyrood Abbey in Edinburgh, now deceased, James Phillips, says this: the God of Jacob is the God of those who have failed. Wonder, do you have a sense about you today that you've failed? You look at your life and you say to yourself, you know, my life's a place of failure, just continually failing. That was Jacob. His life was just chapter after chapter after chapter of failure. And yet, in the place of failure, that's where he met God. At Bethel. And God caught Jacob up into the grand purpose of redemption and saved this man to his glory. Didn't mean he was perfect overnight, far from it. He lived the rest of his life buffeted, bruised, rebuked, humbled, but God never let the man go. And he wrestled with God. That was his new name, someone who wrestled with God. And yet, in that wrestling with God, it was the marker that he was the man of God. The hymn puts it like this: Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. The devil says when you fail, just give up on God, just run away, just find yourself a new life. The man or woman who is wrestling with God says, Jesus, you're the lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Put your hope in the Lord, in other words. And your hopes will never be dashed. He is your true hope. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, says verse 5. I listened recently to a missionary, Christine Sears, telling in an online talk of how she's been 50 years a missionary in Germany. And as I listened to the talk, she said this at the very start of it. She says, I've been 50 years in Germany because the Lord, she says, is very, very faithful. And I loved her very, very faithful. And the way she said it. And this is why the psalmist here is so encouraged. Verse 6, he says, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. The Lord is faithful. So put your hope in the Lord. He will never let you down, ever. He is very, very faithful. And so what the psalmist does, and most of the rest of the psalm, is he starts to set out examples of the faithfulness of God. Verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. Earthly courts and earthly governments are often unjust. Often we hear people, do we not, come out of a court case and they stand in front of a television camera and they say something like, there was no justice in there today. But you can't say that about the Lord. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. Earthly governments often line their own pockets, especially in the developing world, and they let their people starve. They often imprison people unjustly, but the Lord sets prisoners free and he feeds the hungry. But do we not here also have echoes of Luke chapter 4, of Jesus at the very start of his ministry in Nazareth, where he read from Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor or the Lord's grace. In other words, when Jesus used those words, Jesus was saying to the people, you believe in God, you hope in God, put your hope in me. Think of the people that he set free, enslaved to sin. Think of the woman at the well, endlessly seeking in relationships with men, something that only God could give her. Think of the demoniac legion, he was called, full of demons. And Jesus cast the demons into the pigs that drowned in the sea. He couldn't set himself free, but Jesus could set him free. Or think of those born blind. He opened their eyes, and the message was the grace of God to these folk. Forgiveness of sin, peace with God, love and joy and hope. That's why the most downtrodden were often so heartened by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Who would have thought that God would care for orphans and widows? But God cares for orphans and widows. Who would have thought that God would care for the aliens? I always think that's an unfortunate translation. If you watch science fiction movies, alien means something very different to what it means here. Here it means the asylum seekers, or it means those who are refugees. People from a different culture, a different race, who come and live amongst you or live beside you. Well, the Lord is watching over the refugee. The Lord is watching over the person who is an asylum seeker. Well, so should we watch out for them. And mention of the widow, Jesus noted, did he not, the widow casting her widow's mite into the treasury in the temple. The rich were giving out of their riches, but this woman just cast in a few pennies, just all she had, and Jesus said, she has given more than all of them. And yet it ends, doesn't it, in verse 9, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Don't bethink God is soft here, is what the psalmist is saying. Because those who don't put their hope in the Lord, those who refuse to humble themselves, those who refuse to make the Lord God their helper, they will be overturned or overthrown. If you imagine a table beautifully set, say, for dinner, and the tablecloth's there, and the cutlery, and there's a centerpiece, there's candles, there's glasses, there's plates, decorations perhaps, and someone maliciously just turns the tablecloth over, scatters everything. That's what God is saying here about those who refuse to put their hope into Him. They'll be overturned. They'll be scattered. They'll be turned upside down. So there's a warning here in this psalm also to those who will not put their hope in the Lord, who refuse, who think they're the answer to all their own issues and all their own problems, and they're going to make their own way of life. The famous song by Frank Sinatra is the atheist's anthem, I Did It My Way. The psalmist says, actually, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Man, he was a swindler, a thief, but when he got a vision of God, he changed. And in responding to God and putting his hope in God, he found God, and the life change, slowly but surely, that went with it. I urge you today to put your hope in the Lord. And the last thing, very quickly, is just how the psalmist begins and how he ends. And it's basically this: you need to give your soul a good stir. What do I mean by that? Well, it's easy, is it not, for our souls to go to sleep. Even if you're someone who knows the Lord today, it's easy to become apathetic. It's easy, I think, in these days of coronavirus to somehow kind of retreat into ourselves and retreat into our little family bubbles and just allow life to be about us and me and mine, and that's about it. But the psalmist begins, having set out this glorious vision, with the word, and it's just one word in Hebrew, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And he ends in verse 10 with the same word, hallelujah, praise the Lord. One word in Hebrew, three words in English, praise the Lord. And he says, praise the Lord, verse 1, O my soul. It's not just praise the Lord, you people. It's praise the Lord, O my soul. I need to stir myself up to praise the Lord, because it's dead easy to live your life and never actually to praise the Lord. So what I mean by stirring yourself up, well, I'm thinking of Christmas time. You know the way you've eaten too much and you're sitting down or you're lying on the settee after having had your dinner and you're stuffed and you're snacking on Quality Street. And somebody comes into the room and they dump the dog's lead on you, and maybe they dump the dog on you as well. Your coat follows and they say, right, up, we're going for a walk. And you go, Let me ask you this question. How many of us as Christians in our Christian lives are going, Seriously? Many of us are going, I've heard it all before. God just doesn't excite me anymore. I'm looking for something else. It's not why the psalmist says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I know it's not easy at the minute with face masks And I know you're looking at me and you can see me as normal. I'm looking at you. I can't see you as normal. And we're in this bizarre world that we're currently living in, and we can't sing the way we want to sing. We can't praise the Lord the way we want to praise our Lord, praise the Lord. But you can do it at home on your own. And it's dead easy nowadays. You download a video or you put on a podcast or you just sing along to some song. It's great actually for stirring up your soul. We're in the car. You say, I'm not much of a singer. Well, you see, when you're driving and you're in the car, nobody's listening but the Lord. So praise the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I need stirred up. And I'm guessing you need stirred up as well. And that's why the psalm ends in verse 10. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Zion means the city of God, the New Jerusalem, because heaven is a place of praise. And how will we want to praise then if we don't want to praise now? John Newton puts it beautifully in his hymn we're just about to sing. When we have been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less time to sing God's praise than when we've first begun. So don't let spiritual apathy or spiritual laziness, maybe it's crept in over your soul over these past months, don't let it paralyze you. Because the psalmist, the word of God is saying today, praise the Lord, you people, and praise the Lord in your own soul, because you're personally responsible. You and I are personally responsible for our walk with God. Whether we are awake to God or not, you're responsible for that. I'm responsible for my soul. And that's why the psalmist says, put not your trust in princes. Happy is he whose hope is the Lord his God. Let's sing that hymn. Amazing.